again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man whom you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. The first station, Jesus is condemned to death. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
In the first station, we don't just see a man who is condemned by Pontius Pilate, or every crooked government and ambitious politician throughout the ages. We look into the eyes of a man we have condemned ourselves. It was Jesus who is condemned by us whenever we judge our neighbor. For the whatsoever you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me. Judge not, lest ye be judged yourself. And when you try to judge your neighbor, you become, as St. James says, a judge of the law, not being judged by the law. And that is the law of Jesus Christ crucified. How grateful we should be for this great station where Jesus liberates our interior to love our neighbor without any trace of judgment. For as Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta says, if you judge your neighbor, you cannot love them. May Our Lady, the mediatrix of all graces, the Mother of the Church, who is given almost every office and title and grace in heaven, except that of judge. May she pray for us that our love for our neighbor may have no judgment at all, but if we do see our brother sinning, to help them and love them out of the pit rather than pushing them down.
"Crucify your king." The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross. The second station, Jesus takes up his cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Jesus now has the cross. The title of this station suggests that he is active. He takes up the cross. In this we learn that Jesus Christ remains all-powerful and in charge, despite all of the evil unleashed against and around him. He is Lord. St. Ambrose says that Christ bears his cross as a conqueror carries his trophies. In this way, Jesus shows us that his goodness is stronger than evil. When we face the evil of this world, when we face corruptions and sins, we should turn to the Lord Jesus, live in his grace and by his truth. We should seek him and follow him. In this way, we have hope. We will not give in to despair or revenge, bitterness or fear. Jesus Christ is Lord and King of Kings, and he shares his goodness with those who follow him.
Sword has passed.
as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. The third station, Jesus falls the first time. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
In the way of the cross, Jesus falls three times. What do we learn from the falls of Jesus? We learn how much he suffered under our sin. He was truly human. He truly entered into our human, fallen human condition. Although he was God, he did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at, but rather he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave being born in human likeness. He was truly weighed down by our sin. He truly sympathizes with our weakness. He is truly close to us when we have fallen. But perhaps more important, when we look at the falls of Jesus, we have to look at the next step. He always gets up again. He always rises again after his falls. We too will fall many times in our lives. Although we want to work very hard not to fall, we need to work even harder, never to remain fallen, but to get up again. By the grace of God, we take the hand of Jesus. Let us resolve in this third station, the first fall of Jesus, always to take the hand of Jesus immediately after we fall. Not to let any time pass, but repent immediately. Ask immediately for mercy. Take the hand of Jesus and allow him also to lead us to the confessional, to receive the grace of forgiveness, and then continue on, walking with him on the way of life, walking with him toward our heavenly homeland.
Oh, how sad and sore distressed was that mother, highly blessed.
Mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. The fourth station, Jesus meets his mother. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
There is perhaps no other station more tender than the fourth station, where Jesus Christ encounters his Blessed Mother. Here is a mama who sees her baby boy being tortured beyond recognition, spat at and cursed by the crowds. Here is also another level of tenderness, a disciple meeting her master, a person meeting her God, seeing her God blasphemed and rejected by the masses. But what's more important, I believe, in this station is for us to understand that when we are suffering, Jesus Christ, who willed that he not be alone in his sufferings, and had our Blessed Mother to comfort him, sends Our Lady to us in our sufferings, and that we must understand that when we are in desolation, we need to seek out God's friends. For help will always come when we need it. God will always send a helper who can lift our cross with us, who can give us that encouragement and that maternal care we need. Thank you.
as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. The fifth station, Simon of Cyrene helps Jesus to carry his cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. At this station of the cross, we see what happens to a man when he says yes to serving the Lord Jesus. Maybe Simon of Cyrene was compelled at the beginning to carry the cross of Jesus to help him, but at some point he said yes. He could have run away, or he could have allowed himself to be arrested or killed by the Romans, but he agrees. He says yes to serving Jesus. And look what happens. Because he says yes, and even when that yes required him to suffer, his life story changes. Before this station of the cross, his life story was unfolding in one way. But after this station, his life story changes. Because in his life story, he helped Jesus Christ carry the cross by which Christ saved the world. After the resurrection of Jesus, no doubt Simon of Cyrene would feel that his act of charity was in fact awesome and beautiful and very good. His life now acquires a new beauty, a new grace in his life. He is now open to the great adventure of serving God, all because he said yes. And down through the ages, many saints would say yes to the Lord Jesus, and that yes would open their lives to the beauty of his grace and his truth. So, brothers and sisters, may this station of the cross help us to say yes to serving the Lord Jesus. Yes, in answering a call to the priesthood and in fidelity to what that means. Yes, in the sacrament of matrimony and honoring the vows of marriage. Yes, in raising children in a family. Yes, in helping those who are in need and who suffer. And above all, yes, in holiness of life. Saying yes to serving Jesus changes our life story and makes it more beautiful. It opens up our life to true hope, to opening our minds to the wonderful grace and adventure of divine providence. And it gifts us with new grace friendships. Many new friends come into our life because of our yes to Jesus. Let us say yes to Jesus and thank God for his mercy. If we have ever said no, even if our no was strong, adamant, and many times, his mercy will allow us to say yes again. And this yes will make the story of our lives more beautiful. God bless you.
Authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
The sixth station, Veronica wipes the face of Jesus. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
In the fifth and sixth stations of the cross, we encounter two individuals who help Jesus on the way of the cross, Simon in the fifth station and Veronica in the sixth station. Simon helps Jesus in what we might say is a particularly manly way. He takes up the cross physically and helps to support Jesus and helps him along the way of the cross. Veronica helps Jesus in what we might say is a particularly feminine way, with tenderness, compassion, reaching out to him, wiping his face. She sees his need and she draws close to him. Simon offers his help somewhat unwillingly at first. Although he does take up the task, Veronica offers her help entirely voluntarily, even risking her life to run out to him and to meet him to help him. Simon is left with aching muscles and a strong memory of being close to Jesus. Veronica is left with the image of a face that she can continue to look to, eyes that she can gaze into, and an icon that helps each one of us. We may not have the strength of Simon to help Jesus carry his cross physically, but we can all have the compassion and tenderness of Veronica, and we can all look to that face that makes everything a little bit easier. As we pray the sixth station, we can also be grateful for those who have helped us with tenderness and support, perhaps not having lifted our burdens, but by their compassion having lifted our hearts.
Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. And with his stripes we are healed. The seventh station, Jesus falls the second time. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
I don't know how many times I've heard it said in the confessional, "Well, there I go again, committing the same sin." The second station should give us encouragement that if we fall 1,000 times, we should get up 1,001. Or as Pope Francis says, God does not tire of forgiving us. It is we who tire of asking for forgiveness. This should humble our pride and make us realize that we need God very much. May Our Lady help us to fall onto Jesus through the sacrament of confession, realizing that our mercy and this kind of humility unites us deeper to God than before we had sinned, making us more open to his grace and more understanding of our need for it. May she pray for us that we may have the hope to keep going until we reach that final destination where every tear will be washed away and every fault, excess, defect, and sin will be completely no more.
There followed him a great multitude of the people, and of women who bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry. The eighth station, Jesus speaks to the women of Jerusalem. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
We come now to a rather mysterious station of the cross. Jesus is weak and he's worn. He's probably barely able to stand up. And he pauses to teach something to these mournful women. "Do not weep for me," he says, "but weep for yourselves and your children." Christ is the good teacher, and even on the way of the cross, he takes time to teach. His suffering on the way of the cross is evidently a cause of immense sorrow for those who love him. But in his teaching here, he is suggesting that there is a greater sorrow. He's telling them, "Don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children." What is this cause of greater sorrow that Christ is teaching us about? We should have a greater sorrow for sin, for our sins and the sins of others and the sins of the world. We should weep for our sins, perhaps not always physically, but spiritually, emotionally. We should be sorry for our sins, because sin ruins life. It disfigures our humanity. Sin makes us less human. It makes a man less of a man and a woman less of a woman. We are not made for sin, and so sin should cause us to have sorrow. You know what happens when people don't have sorrow for their own sins? They begin to constantly accuse others of their sins. And this can happen in close relationships, in marriages, in families, and communities. Each of us has to acknowledge and be sorry for our own sins. Christ is a divine person, and on the way of the cross, he perceives all of the sins of all people of all times, and this is his agony. He's come to save us from our sins. Sin is the root of all of humanity's problems, corruptions, conflicts, violences, and wars. The root of it all is sin. It is only by sorrow for our sins that we can find healing and renewal, because this sorrow should lead us not to despair, but to hope in Jesus Christ the Lord, who loves us and who is ready to forgive us. May this station conjure up for us sorrow for our sins and lead us to the sacrament of divine mercy, to confess our sins, to do penance, and to amend our lives, and to be forgiven by God Himself.
Turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The ninth station, Jesus falls the third time. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
In the ninth station, Jesus falls for the third time. There is nothing Jesus repeats more in the way of the cross than falling. We know that God is radically in control. He's in control of all of the things that we experience in our lives. And he always chooses what is for the greatest good. Even though it involves his own suffering, Jesus is no stranger to the consequences of God's choice to do good for us, no matter what the cost. Jesus falls one time, a second time, a third time. What is he looking for, we might say, when he is falling? When Jesus falls, he looks for all of those who are broken, who are on the margins, who are at the outskirts. He's looking for us. Pope Francis said in a homily, Jesus looks for us on the margins. And so he said, let us put ourselves on the margins so that the Lord may find us. He will not find us at the center of our certainties. That is not where the Lord looks. He will find us on the margins, in our sins, in our mistakes, in our need for spiritual healing, for salvation. That is where the Lord will find us. Not in the center of our certainties, in our brokenness, our failures. The Lord is there. This is not to say that we intentionally fail or we intentionally sin, but we should be confident. He is looking for us. And as long as we never take any risks, as long as we are unwilling to be humbled, to be humiliated, as long as we are unwilling to do anything that might end up in a failure, we won't find him. He won't find us. Jesus is the one who falls again and again, looking for us in a lowly place, in a humble estate, looking for us on the margins.
Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. The 10th station. Jesus is stripped of his garments. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
This is perhaps the most harrowing of all the stations, to see these wounds of Jesus that had dried to his garment being completely ripped away as he was derobed, as the garments were torn from his flesh. And this shock should help us to understand the effect of sins of the flesh. Our Lady said at Fatima, there is no sin more common than the sins of the flesh for which souls are condemned to eternal punishment. And therefore, we should be aware of this, but also be aware of what Jesus Christ is willing to do to save us. And that when we contemplate his wounds being reopened, we should pray for an end to the adulteries of this generation, an end to internet pornography, an end to all of the many infidelities that we see in our age. And for the beginning of a culture of authentic purity. Purity that is not afraid to look at the beauty of the human body, but see it as an instrument and a sacrament which reveals the beauty of God. May Our Lady help us to come to this purity, to shed the robe of iniquity and be robed with Jesus Christ.
They brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mingled with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. The 11th station. Jesus is nailed to the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
At the Last Supper, Jesus took bread and a chalice filled with wine into his holy and venerable hands, and there gave us the blessed Eucharist, his real presence. With his hands, Jesus worked miracles. He blessed the children and those who suffer. He blessed the multitudes. With his hands, he gave us the most holy Eucharist. Now these hands are nailed to the cross. They are treated with tremendous irreverence. This station should inspire us to treat Jesus with reverence, to honor his holy name, to pray with respect, to love the Eucharist, to honor his words in the Scriptures. May this station inspire us to treat Jesus with the same reverence that Our Lady always had for him.
Sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. The 12th station. Jesus dies on the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
The 12th station of the cross brings us to the culmination of Jesus' suffering. Jesus' suffering is not only to a point, and then he turns back. It doesn't just reach a certain crescendo, and then he stops and takes himself down and brushes himself off and moves on. Jesus goes all the way to the end, the bitter end, the very end, death, death itself. Jesus breathes his last. There may have been some who stood there hoping, thinking, perhaps there would be a way that he would take himself down. Maybe he would call those 12 angels, 12 legions of angels to come and defend him. But Jesus loved us to the end, not nearly to the end. A near-death experience would not be enough. He loved us to the end. It is finished. He gave every last breath, and he expired. Jesus teaches us the paradox, as Mother Teresa called it, that when we love until it hurts, then there is no more hurt and only more love. Love continues on even after the hurt has ended. With death, the hurt of Jesus is ended, his passion is ended, but his love continues on, continues to pour out on us because he has breathed his last for us. When we think about the death of Jesus, we see the radical truth that it is only by dying that we truly live. Crossing that threshold from life to eternal life by the gateway of death. Not on our time, but on his time. Jesus didn't take his own life, but he allowed his life to take its course and bring him to the end. Let us ask him also to live in such a way that we don't fear death, and to die in such a way that we long for eternal life.
Let me share with thee his pain. Sins was
Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin, live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. The 13th station, Jesus is taken down from the cross and given to his afflicted mother. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
We contemplate in the 13th station, Jesus being held by his mother. A scene that we saw in Bethlehem when this little baby was being held by his mama. And that is no different, that in our sufferings, even in the little deaths that we must die, Our Lady holds us very tenderly and helps us die what St. Louis de Montfort called the necessary death, the death to ourselves, knowing that it is very simple, but it is very difficult to do. And that extra gift of Our Lady holding us and embracing us helps us to go through this very painful and yet very necessary part of following Jesus Christ.
When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. And he rolled a great stone at the door of the tomb, and departed. 14th station, Jesus is laid in the tomb. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
We come now to the apparent defeat of Jesus. In the minds of his opponents, he is finished. He is gone, defeated, and no more. No more will the world have to endure his real presence, or heed his word, or even hear it. His teaching will be reduced to a memory that will fade away in history. But they were wrong. At this station, as he is laid in the tomb, even now Jesus Christ is Lord. He is all-powerful. Today, sometimes the world tries to do away with Jesus, to remove his presence from this world, or to silence his word. But they cannot do this, because he is Lord. We need to be vigilant and make sure that we ourselves never try to set him aside. He is merciful, and if we have ever tried to set him aside, or been indifferent to him, or ignored him, or pretended we didn't have time for him, he will forgive us if we turn to him and tell him we're sorry. Let us once again return to Jesus and accept him anew as our Master. He is Lord, and he actually is never done away with. Jesus Christ is God with us. May we, like Our Lady, never leave him.